From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine online, this is Day to Day. I'm Noah Adams. Coming up, reaction in Russia to the threat from Chechen terrorists and President Putin's handling of the problem. But first, President Bush today praised the sacrifice of the more than 1,000 U.S. military personnel who have now died in the war in Iraq.
We appreciate the sacrifice of the men and women who wear the uniform. They're serving in a great cause. We mourn every loss of life. We'll honor their memories by completing the mission.
That mission of bringing freedom and stability to Iraq faces many challenges. The New York Times today reports that the Pentagon acknowledges that insurgents control important areas of central Iraq and says it is unclear when American and Iraqi forces will be able to secure those areas. Joining us now to talk about the military situation in Iraq is Michael O'Hanlon, Senior Fellow at the Brookings Institution. Welcome, Mr. O'Hanlon.
Thank you, Noah.
August was an especially difficult time. I've read more than 2,500 attacks on U.S. forces. Where is the U.S. military getting in trouble, and what's happening?
Well, most of the country is still difficult, of course. The only real relative oases or calm spots are in the far south in the Basra area, where the British are still in control of the former occupation, now stabilization forces, and also up north around Mosul. But even Basra and Mosul are really not safe or totally calm, and there are still occasional incidents there. But the worst of it is still the Sunni triangle in Baghdad.
We hear the number of 1,000 has been passed for U.S. uniformed men and women dying in Iraq. Any estimates of the number of Iraqis who have been killed, military or civilian?
It's hard to say, but in the 18 months since we initiated military activity in Iraq, something between 10,000 and 50,000 Iraqis have died, depending on just how you count and who you count and how many of these victims you attribute to the war itself versus the general chaos that has ensued.
If you're in the U.S. thinking about the number of American troops there, and hearing the Pentagon conceding, New York Times says, Pentagon concedes rebels still control parts of Iraq, you start doing math and thinking about the war in Vietnam.
Well, yeah, I'm afraid that what's becoming similar to Vietnam, I mean, I think overall this situation is still much better than the Vietnam War, and certainly we've had far fewer American casualties. But what's similar is that we can't really get our arms around the insurgency problem. We can't get to what was called in Vietnam the crossover point, where we were actually killing or arresting insurgents more quickly than they were being regenerated and created. And we have the same problem in Iraq. If you go back to Central Command last fall, they were estimating that there were about 5,000 hardened Iraqi resistance fighters. The most recent estimates they've given are in the range of 20,000. So a year's worth of hard fighting and counterinsurgency has seen the estimated size of the Iraqi insurgency grow by a factor of 4. Now, those numbers are probably very slippery and suspect and rough, but nonetheless, nobody in the U.S. military seems to have confidence that we're whittling away at this insurgency. It keeps on regenerating. Anti-Americanism became a big part of its motivation and its rallying cry in the course of the winter and spring. Now that we've transferred sovereignty to the Iraqis themselves, anti-Americanism may not be quite as potent of a force, and let's hope over time the insurgency will have a harder time recruiting new members. But we have not been able to begin to weaken it in any meaningful way, and that's the real dilemma of this operation, and that is, unfortunately, the growing parallel with Vietnam.
Michael O'Hanlon, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He spoke with us from Washington. Thank you, Mr. O'Hanlon.
Thank you, Noah.